the top of the Empire State Building. Best Equity Business Podcast is back.
We back.
Expansion always, in all ways. Eye-opening episodes, sales, marketing strategies, entrepreneurial development, the everyday entrepreneur experience. So get ready to network to build your net worth. You're now listening to the Pest Equity Business Podcast.
Welcome all and welcome back to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. I'm your host, Vinny E. On today's show, we have a special guest all the way from California, a pest control technician, and she goes by Melissa Wheeler. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Lovely weather in California.
That's always a good thing.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Melissa, so let's get started. Why don't you give us like a brief bio about yourself, what you do, where you're from, et cetera?
Well, my name is Melissa Wheeler. You've already introduced me. I am originally born and raised from the San Fernando Valley, which is north of the Los Angeles County area. And I've been in the industry since I was 15, 16 years old. I started off as a like a filing clerk. We did a lot of receptionist work. And then from there, I gradually started promoting, getting promotions in the industry. And just recently, for the past 2 years, I've actually been doing field work and starting my own company. So I am a pest control technician and also a termite inspector.
Nice. Congratulations on starting the new business.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So, Melissa, how would you describe yourself in one word?
I haven't been asked that question in a really long time. I'll say amazing. I feel amazing today.
Okay. Okay. What do you think your mission in life is?
My mission in life is to create a legacy for my family. So when I say family, my son is my pride and joy right now, and I don't want him to have to struggle, and I want him to experience what it's like to inherit something, because that's not something that our family has been able to be blessed with. And I want to be able to start the trend of leaving the blessings for our children and family.
Okay, so that being said, what does pest control mean to you?
Pest control is the way I am going to create that legacy. That is my main focus. And I feel that if I've already been doing this for almost 2 decades, that it's too late to turn around now. I have to just keep pushing forward on that.
Okay. So basically, who influenced you to get into the pest control field?
My mother.
Your mom. So yes. Does your mother have prior pest control experience as well?
Yes, she's been in the industry, I want to say 26 years, 27 years.
Okay.
She also has her own pest control company as well. Hers is called Bug 11 Pest Management. So it's kind of like 911, Bug 11, what's your emergency?
Amazing. Do you guys collaborate, or is she in a different state, or?
No, she actually lives right across the street from me.
Okay, that's convenient.
Yes, it's just that her company is a little smaller and it's her and my brother that run it. So I kind of let them be the leaders of their dynasty.
Okay, so up to this point, how does it feel to be an entrepreneur?
It feels good being able to create your own schedule, but there's also a lot of fear that I have to overcome. So it's the fear. It's being able to have to rely on solely yourself for the income based off of sales and commissions. So not having that hourly or salary pay is the biggest fear that I've had from being independent.
I totally get it. I'd eat a lot of peanut butter and jelly in my day as well. So
yeah, I do a lot of beans and rice.
So Melissa, if you could work a different job, a different field, what would it be?
I've always wanted to work in downtown LA in one of the big corporate offices.
Okay, so corporate America would be ideal for you.
I don't know what field, I don't know what industry. All I know, I wanted to be on that like 20th floor looking over the whole Los Angeles County. That was my dream when I was little.
Okay, so would you say that, is that what you're inspiring for, is for your company?
I've never really thought of me being able to get there solely alone on my company, but that's definitely something that I would love to focus on.
Okay, so I take it that your mom influenced you to get into the pest control industry?
Yes, it actually started off as a summer job in the pest control industry. And then I think at a really young age, when I was 15 going on 16, I got used to the money. So I checked myself out of regular high school and I started doing home studies. And I've been working full time ever since I was like 16 or 17.
Okay. So on a daily basis, you're out in the field. What is the biggest pest control issue that you deal with on a daily basis?
Termites and rodents are a big thing in attics when I try to focus on termites, but what I just get lucky when I go into an attic and see rodent droppings. I've just been blessed that it hasn't been active. So a lot of it is old evidence. So I'm looking forward to when it's active and seeing the rats run across my face. That's what I'm preparing myself for when I go into these attics.
Okay.
Especially during the winter.
Okay. So you deal mostly with what's called the roof rat, correct?
Yes, the roof rat.
Okay.
I want to say we do the Norrat rats as well when I do the bait boxes, but definitely the roof rat is something that I need to overcome as a fear.
Okay, so you fear rodents.
I don't fear them. I just fear if they're right next to me alive running around. Or there's like a litter. I'm not going to know what to do when I see little baby rats. I'm like, do I remove them? Like, am I supposed to eradicate them? So that's the biggest fear, is for me to find a nest of cute little baby rats.
Okay. Well, usually...
And possums too. Like if I walk in there and I see a possum or a raccoon, that's something that I've heard in the industry. Obviously, a lot of gentlemen, they've all told me like, yeah, we've seen it, and I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's going to happen, because the more addicts you go into, the more likely it's going to happen. So it's me preparing myself for when it does happen, because I'm not trying to fight a possum mom protecting her little ones. I'm pretty sure she'll win.
Yeah, well, in situations like that, you know, you probably want to address it correctly. I've done wildlife removal and stuff like that. You could use one of the, I don't know if you ever seen it, like the dog catching poles. They have that, or you could just trap them. I recently trapped I believe it was 6 raccoons.
Oh.
So, you know.
And I'm not even in there prepared with the equipment. So I'm going in there just to look for termites. So that's the thing that scares me. I'll just have my probe.
Yeah. Well, you always want to carry a good flashlight, because in all reality, a flashlight is a deadly weapon.
That's true. I've actually learned that in a self-defense class.
Yeah. Yeah. When you shine the light in someone's eyes, it's better than having an actual weapon.
I never even thought of it that way. I was thinking of the weapon as to use it.
No, actually, the light works better.
Okay. No, well, that's good to know. I will definitely look into a more expensive flashlight, because I know right now mine is pretty decent, but it's definitely not like the ones that I've seen when I've been with my trainers or my managers. I'm like, hey, your flashlight is a lot cooler than mine.
Yeah, you should always want to purchase a rechargeable flashlight. I can't remember the name of the company at the present moment, but the higher the lumens, the better it is.
Yeah, because my flashlight actually has batteries, like AAA batteries.
Yeah, I used to buy those, but I just got tired of buying batteries, so I'd rather have a rechargeable one in my truck or wherever, and you know, just throw it up and charge it. So, Melissa, what do you wish you had known when you started in pest control?
I wish that. Not that what I would have known, but I wish that I would have gotten my licenses a lot sooner. And I wish that I would have started the field work a lot sooner. So, you know, I'm barely in my 30s learning how to even use a drill bit. I didn't even know you had to use a drill bit to use a tool, like to put the screws right in after that. This is something that I've literally learned this year, and to say like, hey, I'm an owner of a business, but in reality, I'm still in training. So I just wish that I just took this a lot more serious at a younger age, instead of waiting for me to have a kid and then see how important it is that I really got off my butt and started to really hustle.
Well, usually that's how it is in life. You know, as we get older, things become more of a priority or focus. As far as the business aspect of what you just said, you got to look at it as, I had someone comment on the Instagram page about, you know, they wanted help scaling their business. Now, you got to look at it as, business is pretty much, you learn as you go. There's no one that can say, oh, I was born a business expert. So right. Along the way, you're gonna make mistakes, which you need to allow yourself to do in order to become successful. Because, see, you see all these people on TV and podcasts and et cetera, and, you know, they got rich overnight, they're gurus, blah, blah, blah. Like, all of that is fantasy. You know, you
right.
In business, you have to want it. If you don't want it, you're not going to become successful. So you need to be proud of yourself that you're actually learning these things, regardless of how long it took you to, and just keep applying it. And the more you do it, the further you will go in your career.
Right. And even when it comes to simple things, like using a gorilla ladder, my brother was like, let me show you real quick. And I was like, no. You know, I'm the big sister. I'm like, I can figure it out. And then one day when I needed to actually really use the gorilla ladder, I had to pull over probably a block away before my customer's house and watch like 2 YouTube videos to make sure that I wasn't going to make myself look crazy.
Well, again, you know, you allowed yourself to make that mistake and not having, you know, your brother assist you or, you know, right. Show you the ropes or whatever. But now I'm sure now you know how to utilize the ladder, correct?
Of course. And especially after having, when it comes down, when you release it, and it's pinched me like 4 times. So I think the pinches were the biggest learning lessons in order for me to remember like, hey, that's kind of dangerous because it has broken skin. But the good thing is that I literally understand the term blood, sweat, and tears, because I've been in addicts in uncomfortable situations, and I have really long hair. My hair is almost like 3-4 feet long. So it's really long. And there's been times where my bun will fall out or my braid will start coming out. And I'm literally looking at my hair just hanging out with the rodent droppings. And I'm just like, oh my goodness.
So you like Rapunzel?
Yes. Oh, I'm God. Just like, oh my gosh. Or it's crazy. And even my brother, and one time I remember I was out on the field and I was like, where's my hair tie? I couldn't find it. And then about, I want to say it was a monthly service or a bi-monthly service, and my brother did the route right after me. And it was so embarrassing because he posted my hair tie in the bait box online. Wow. I was like, what? That's totally mine.
What is the common myth about your job as far as like expertise of it?
That we will eradicate every single last insect or rodent at your home. A lot of people don't really realize that it's to maintain it, or they expect a guarantee, and we have to let them know it's impossible for us to kill every single ant at your house or every single spider that you see. Or if I get a call and this customer's like, I seen one ant in my kitchen, and I'm like, just smash it.
I totally got it. You know, they think we have a magic wand. I got it.
Yes. Or it's funny too, because if you're not in the industry, you're not going to know. So a lot of people will tell me like, oh, come fumigate my house for ants. And technically the fumigation is when you put the big old tent over the house for the 2 to 3 days, and you kind of just let the lingo slide. And then that's when it's kind of becomes civilian versus professionalism. And I try not to be too corrective for them and just let them, you know, just be normal people, because we're the professionals. That's why we're all here.
The biggest thing in business is educating the customers and basically your brand awareness. So those two things are a major staple that you need to utilize in your business in order to, you know, go further with it.
Right. That's actually on the California exam, is that's one of the answers to the question on the exam, is once you leave the property, what is the best recommendation for you to do? And the answer is prep the customer of what they need to do as well. Because I don't think a lot of customers realize that in order to get rid of an infestation, they need to put their part in too. Yeah. They think that we're just going to go in there, create magic. But in reality, we need a lot of their help.
Absolutely. It's, you know, pretty much, I would say like a 70-30 split. You know, if you're not educating your customer, then you're pretty much doing them a disservice, as well as, you know, creating more and more callbacks for your company. So,
right.
You know, that's why you, like you said, professionalism is a very big thing to me. And, you know, you have to educate your customers on what's going on, what to expect going forward, why they're having this issue, and how they can, you know, help as well to, you know, pretty much eliminate the problem or manage it, et cetera.
Right.
So, Melissa, let me ask you this here. What are some of the challenges that you faced when you first, you know, started your business or got into the industry?
I feel that I had training, but because I do such a broad part of the industry, that I've had to learn how to become an expert through trial and error. And like, for instance, for rodents, I've gotten screened with holes that are too wide, where I'm literally trying to drill and the drills are going right through the screen because I didn't get it small enough.
Yeah.
So then I've had to, like you said, the retreats, I've had to come back because I was like, I'm not drilling this. I'm going to use a staple gun. And then I didn't have staples to refill my staple gun. And then the last time I did go back to the home, I had bought the wrong staples for the gun.
Okay.
And then, you know, like thinking that in my brain, because I've seen something and I thought, okay, for these rodent droppings, I can just sweep them up. And then I go again and I'm like, oh no, this needs to be vacuumed. So then I have to go get the vacuum for my partners, or because, you know, when you're a startup, you definitely do rely a lot on the people that are there to willing to help you. And you have to be able to become vulnerable and ask them and not be ashamed. And I've just been blessed to have a team of people who are not scared to trust me to make my own mistakes. And they basically tell me it's to build character. And they've even seen me. They'll see me standing there, like even if when we do wood repairs for termite jobs, they've seen me sweeping with like a regular broom. And then in reality, I turn around, I'm like, where did that push broom come from? And they're like, well, we were just watching you to build character. So that's definitely a lot that I've had to learn. And like I said, it's just putting yourself in situations that make you uncomfortable so you learn to become comfortable.
Absolutely. That's I agree with that 100%. Everyone's got to start somewhere. You know, like right. I said earlier, you know, you have these people like, you know, they see all these, you know, gurus or whatever you want to call them that are just trying to sell you their product. And, you know, they get caught up in that rabbit hole of, oh, well, you know, I want to be as successful as he is, as quick as he is or she. But that's not reality. Earlier, you said blood, sweat and tears, right? I used the term blood, sweat and years. You know, but yeah, that's how you do it. You know, like as far as what you were saying, like you learned from your mistakes. So now you know that, you know, you're not going to repeat that mistake again. And it's also good for when you finally have other technicians and you're training them, you know, already like what mistakes to avoid.
Right. And then that's also another thing where I feel blessed to have been in the industry for an X amount of years before I started going out on the field, because I have a contact list that never ends with people that are willing to help me. And as long as you learn to never burn your bridges, a lot of people, when you're starting up, you'll see that they actually really do care for your best interest. And that's one of the biggest blessings that I've had, is been able to rely on other people, because you learn from your mistakes, but sometimes I'd rather learn from someone else's mistakes so I don't have to make those.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like, I don't know if you listened to my episode on how not to find a mentor. Like when you're looking for a mentor, it's what you can give them, not what they can give you.
Right.
You know what I mean? So like, that's basically what, you know, the type of path you want to be on. Like you want to give, right? And then eventually you will receive. Like, I totally believe in what you put out in the world comes back to you.
Right. And that's like for my biggest mentors, like obviously my mother. There's not a lot of women in our industry. And I feel that even us marketing her industry, I mean, her company as family owned is one thing, but to actually put the stamp woman owned, it puts a lot of, you know, the new genre, the new movement that women can also do this as well. And then obviously my other mentor is my brother. Even though he's my little brother, he thinks he's my big brother because we're only 3 years apart, but you know, he's taller than me, so I let him take that role.
I understand.
Yeah. And then him and I, we even, my brother is one of my biggest competitors because, you know, we've always competed since we were little. Like, I'm going to pass my test first. No, I'm going to pass my test first. So my brother and I, we both have taken several state tests, whether it's when he was doing his barbering or, you know, in California, we have so many tests that you need to take to even just be in this industry. And then I even have like my life insurance license. And I do really consider my little brother as one of my biggest mentors, because in all reality, he's been doing the field work for many years. I think, even though I joke around saying like, oh, I've had my license, you know, like a year or two longer than you, but in reality, he is the person that I go to seek for all of the answers. And then, another one of my mentors was another gentleman who owns a company called Evolution Termite, and he was willing to take me out to his route. And I know I wasn't, you know, getting paid or anything, but I didn't mind that because I felt that the experience was worth way more than the money.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And
agree.
It's free education. Like, there's no such thing as free education in America. That's something that, you know, people have been in debt for years because of student loans and anything and everything along those lines. So in order to receive free education, I don't think a lot of people grasp on how important that really is.
Absolutely. I mean, I started out in a totally different industry. I'm still in that industry. And right. When I first got into it, everywhere I went, no one would give me an opportunity because I lacked experience, right? So what did I do? I took the initiative, and rather than whine and complain and, you know, how it is nowadays, I actually offered to work for free in order to gain that experience and to, right, you know, captivate that company that I would go that far as, you know, in order to gain experience and learn. And that's how I excelled in that industry of HVACR.
Right.
So, you know, basically, you know, we could sit here all day and complain about loans and et cetera, but at the end of the day, it's just the reality of life and where you want to be, right?
Yes. And a lot of those times too, is a lot of people don't realize that when you work for free to learn something, you have to take into consideration that these people are also teaching you for free.
Yes. But in reality, you are not working for free because...
No, you're gaining the experience that you need in order to move forward in the profession that you're choosing.
There you go. See, it's not actually working for free. It's just, you know, you're benefiting yourself in the long term if that's what you really want to do with your life. just as like, you know, if you want to be a doctor, you know, you have to do a residency and so on and so forth. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to give your time. That's the way it is in life. You should never inspire to be feel entitled. You know, that's how I am. I came up in a different, situation. And, you know, my family, they're all entrepreneurs, and I never got anything but start at the bottom and work your way to where you need to be. And that's right. What I believe in.
Not all of us are Trump with the $1 million loan.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to get political, but...
what I'm trying to do for my son. Here's a small loan of $1 million, son.
There you go. You just answered and took the words out of my mouth. Like, in order for him to get that loan, his father had to work for that money. It didn't just fall off a tree.
No, it did not. And that's what we need to do, is just learn how to build our own legacies to
see a lot of people knock things without actually, you know, having the knowledge in it or the research, you know, like the $1 million loan thing, right? In order to get $1 million, you know, you have to work for it. It's not just going to show up at your front door. But a lot of people, you know, they spin a narrative that it's easier because, you know, his father, whoever, gave him the money. Okay, the father may have gave him a loan, so he didn't just give it to him and say, oh, here, I'm rich, so take whatever, you know, you want. He had to pay it back. Plus, that $1 million wasn't guaranteed for him to build such a big company and own properties all around the world, et cetera, et cetera. Regardless if you like the man or not, you got to give him credit where credit's due.
Of course. I mean, I personally, my vote wasn't for him, but I definitely admire his business aspect of the way he does things. Because like you said, I wouldn't, if I were to receive $1 million loan, I would freak out, because I would be like, am I going to be able to pay this $1 million back? That's the number one question. Obviously, I would try my hardest, but $1 million loan means that you have to pay it back. And a lot of the times it is with interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also, again, in business, if you don't take risks, there's no rewards.
Right.
I mean, look at the direction we're going in now. $8 a gallon for gasoline. You can't even buy food at the grocery store. Yet, when it comes to politics, people vote with emotion when they should be voting with their brain. Policy is always going to out Trump. Okay, emotion. That's my take on that. Yeah, I don't really want to get political or nothing like that, but that's just, you know, my statement on that.
Right. No, and that's exactly. And like I said, I know a lot of people, it's either you love or you hate him. And to admire and give him flowers for what he's...
I'll be honest with you, right? You could hate him all you want, but I would rather hate someone and pay $1.66 a gallon than love someone and pay $6-7 a gallon of gasoline.
I've actually been using my partner's truck for work, and one of the hardest things for me to do is fill up that gas tank. The other day, just for me to drive from one county to the other, I was like, oh, okay, you know, I have a $60 budget. Let me throw 50 in. And then I threw 50 in and I was like, what? It barely even moved. So I understand.
So, you know, that's my stance on that. Again, I don't.
Sometimes you have to do what you got to do for business.
Well, listen, in any aspect in life, right? If you weigh the pros and cons, can you tell me that you're better off today than you were 4 years ago?
I want to say yes because of my independence.
Okay.
But I want to say no because of my income. And again, it's all just about that, the struggle of being an entrepreneur and having to rise above the situations that you're in. And my goal right now is to rise above what I'm going through. And that's why you even reaching out to me, I was like, oh, this man right here, he is definitely going to take me somewhere. And this is something where, you know, like I felt like, for example, with the gentleman, like I mentioned with Evolution Termite, he was willing to basically be a mentor, be a teacher at no cost. And we already know that in America, teachers don't get paid what they're worth. And he's giving me his, you know, his gems at no cost. And I feel that you reaching out to entrepreneurs who are young, who are in the industry, whether they're not even in our industry, whether it's just young entrepreneurs in general for any industry, the fact that you're here for us, that's a blessing. Whether you don't see it or not, it's a lot for us because these gems don't come around for free. You know, we get those email blasts saying, you know, how to become a millionaire overnight with a subscription. Or if you even for YouTube, there's a lot of information for free, but there's a lot of subscriptions that a lot of people expect for you to pay in order to get those extra little gems. And the fact that you're doing it on all platforms and you're hustling and giving that information out to genuinely help people out, that is definitely, I don't know if you're religious, but I feel that you are definitely doing God's work in an industry and something in the country that we need.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. And I just want to say this, as far as education in this country, it's totally taking a wrong turn. You know, like children and you know, young scholars should be taught business, finance, et cetera, rather than, you know, where they're trying to lead it to, which is pretty much useless. And I feel that everyone should be able to make their own choices when they get to a specific age. Now, as far as you're doing my podcast, it is a pleasure for me to do it. I enjoy it. I love helping people. That's what I do. I try to keep it as authentic as I possibly can. I've had comments of people saying, you know, you sound like that you're reading. Yes, I'm reading from a book of my own. You know, this is my formula. This is what it takes, you know, getting back to what we were saying earlier about people whining about, you know, their dad or whatever the case might be. Like, you make choices in your life for what you want to do and where you want to go, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's basically life. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to wake up and be that guy on YouTube that claims he makes millions of dollars. And then, like you said, go buy my book and go buy my my e-form or my e-book or whatever it may be. Or come to my seminar and I'm going to tell you a bunch of stuff that basically is not going to help you in any which way or the other. I'm just going to make you feel good. Because I noticed that lately it's all about people's feelings and, you know, who gets butt hurt or whatever the case might be. Like, in business, you got to have thick skin and you can't give a you know what on what anybody thinks of you or how they portray you or whatever. If you want to be truly successful and get to the top of the ladder, that's what you need to do. You can't be whining about every little thing. And, you know, the whole thing going back to the woman-owned business, you know, congratulations. Yeah. But I just want to give you a bit of advice. Don't fall down that rabbit hole, okay? Business is business, whether you're a woman, a man, you're whatever color, your race, your religion, whatever the case might be, business is always one. It's green. That's it. You know, when you like, when you're able to grasp that as a person, believe me, you're gonna go further than you'd ever imagined.
Right, and another mentor that I do want to give, you know, I want to commend her as well, and she was also a mentor of my mother, and I'm just blessed that our opportunity for growth and everything that we've done in our company has a lot to do with her guidance. Her name is Susan Fries, and she's the owner of E. coli Pest Control and Termites, and she services Southern California. Her company is huge, and I am blessed that she is one of the very few women as well in the industry. And I pretty much grew up with her. You know, I've worked in her office from when I was 15 to 26, I believe. And she gave me the opportunity to do an internship for a radio show. I've spent several weekends with her. I did several seminars with her. I was in uncomfortable situations with former managers, and she is one tough cookie with okay. lipstick. So she is, you know, and I was just amazed to see how successful she's been in a competitive industry and an industry that like is predominantly men. And one thing that I've always had to remind her as well, that when men are intimidated by her, I have to tell her, Susan, you're in a man's world. A lot of men wish to be in your position. And I think that's one thing that's hard for her, is to accept her own flaws, because she's had to fight so hard. So for her to even accept any kudos or acknowledge on how much of an inspiration she really is, I think because she's had to fight so hard to keep her business, to keep her momentum, she's an inspiration to a lot of women. And I think that she's just her biggest critic, but I just want her to know that she's an inspiration to women. And I just hope that her story and her legacy lives on for a very, very long time. Well, and that she's able to provide for generations and generations for her family, because I know she's also a new grandma. Her and my mom actually became grandmas around the same time. And I think that that was a blessing for her and my mom to actually be able to be grandmothers, basically like within months apart of one another. So they were able to experience that love and that joy around the same time. But I also don't think that they give themselves enough credit for what they've actually done for women in the industry as well.
Well, you know, like I was saying before, you know, next time you do have an opportunity to speak with her, ask her now, does being a woman matter? See what she tells you.
She'll probably tell me it used to matter, but now she probably don't.
The reason why it used to
matter no more.
well, the reason why it used to matter is because, again, you know, that's the perception of society. Right. Okay. And it doesn't matter whether you're, to me personally, it does not matter whether you're a man, woman, whatever, you know, color, et cetera. It all depends on if you want it or not. That's how I look at life. That's how I look at business. If you want it, if you want to be victorious, then that's what you got to be. You know, if you're going to be someone that's going to be constantly doubting yourself and afraid to fail, that's why so many people are not successful, because they're afraid to fail. Oh, am I going to do this correct? Oh, how is this going to, like, you're overthinking it. You got to go with the flow and just let it happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, especially with me being in those attics, I'm like, sure, I can still entry point. And then I get there, I'm like, how do you even close this thing?
Well, you know, listen, in time, you're going to be an expert at what you do.
Yes.
I could tell. I could tell just by speaking with you. You know, you can't
I
be,
appreciate that.
You know, you cannot be afraid. You gotta get over that, you know, rejection. You got to get right. over all that type of stuff. Just go forward and do it.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I sold the job. Like, can I do it? But I sold it, but I'm pretty sure I can. Technically, by law, I'm licensed to do it. So if I'm licensed to do it, I can do it.
See, that's the misconception people have. Yeah. They say, you know, that they have to sell, right? Mm-hmm. You should never have to sell, because your customers, they're always wanting to buy. You understand? It's all about right. It's all about how you position yourself. You know, as you said earlier, you want to be the expert, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's all about position, how you position yourself. Okay. The value that you're showing your customers, they're going to buy from you. There's no need to sell.
Right.
Okay. Like, I built my business personally. I built my business on word of mouth. Okay. I hardly do any type of advertising. I don't do any type of, you know, Google ads and all that type of stuff, because people know that if they want premium services, if they want service quality, they know who to call. Quality doesn't cost, it pays. That's pretty much what it is.
Right.
So that's basically how you need to like structure your business. That's my opinion, advice.
That's definitely very, very important. And I think that as entrepreneurs, especially for people who are out there listening to podcasts and, you know, trying to seek all of these gems, you know, it's important to network. It's important to get out of your comfort zone and go out there. And that's why I said I'm so glad that we were on the same track on figuring out how to do all of this. Like you said, when you don't pay for the ads, you don't pay for that, because when you actually put in the work and time without having to pay other companies to do it for you, they do come on their own, you know. And for instance, like I even mentioned to you yesterday when we had a conversation, that when you messaged me, I was surprised to see that you and I had, I want to say it was like 70 something mutual followers. And when I seen that we had so many mutual followers, I was like, that's because him and I are doing something the same.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the only other person I have that many followers with is my mom. And that's because we come from a family of over 100 to 200 people. Mm-hmm. And then I follow my mom's friends and my mom follows my mom's friends. So to see that many common people, I was like, oh, he's doing what I'm doing. He's following every pest control company or every small entrepreneur that is doing the same thing, you know, like whoever comes up in our suggested box, we look at them, we like their videos, we share their videos. And I think that that's important. And you even encouraged me yesterday to actually share my YouTube videos, because I do YouTube videos, but I don't use YouTube to share to people. I use YouTube to record something and then send it to my managers so they can help me with bids. And when you brought up YouTube, I was like, oh, maybe I could share these bids. Maybe I could be an inspiration to someone who is in the same situation that I'm in. Like, what do you do when this beam is infested with termites? What do you do when this has wood rot? And a lot of the times it's identification. There was even one time I sent a picture of the wood and I told my friend, is this subterranean termites? And he wrote back laughing and he was like, no, girl, that's dry rot. And I'm like, oh. So, you know, then that's something that I feel that instead of another field rep going out having that same mistake, I would want them to see that video. So when they go out, then they'll know, like, okay, I seen Melissa's video and she thought these were subs, but she was wrong. So now, instead of them making that call an error, then they know it's dry rot, not the subs that I thought it was.
Yeah. You know, I did an episode, you know, you guys could check it out. I did an episode on how to market your business. I think it was like 31 ways for free, right? You can check that out. As far as YouTube, you know, don't forget to subscribe to Pest Equity Business Podcast.
No, definitely. I will.
See, the thing is this, right? Like, whether you're doing, let's say you put out your YouTube video, right? Okay, you didn't know what it was, whatever the case might be. You're gonna get what's called constructive criticism, right?
Right.
You're gonna get, you know, idiots that are gonna write, you know, nonsense, but who cares about that stuff, right?
Right.
So you're gonna get constructive criticism. You're putting, you know, again, you're basically marketing your business for free, correct?
Yeah.
Like I told you yesterday, the YouTube, the, you know, all this TikTok stuff.
Even the TikTok.
It's all free marketing. Like, people spend, you know, millions of dollars on marketing. When you're a small company, you're just starting out, you don't have that budget, right?
So, no, I don't.
Okay, so there
absolutely
you go.
Absolutely not.
So that's why you have these markets to use while you're building yourself up, okay? And then basically, Okay, here's a tip for you and everyone else. You want to market when you're busy, not when you're not busy, because when you market when you're busy and you got a lot of work coming in, the marketing is going to pay for itself rather than, oh, I got nothing coming in, but I'm going to take 20% out of my budget and, you know, market and see what happens. You don't want to test when you're not making money. You want to test when the money's rolling in, when you got that recurring, you know, monthly, you know, spray job or, you know, your termites or whatever it may be. That's when you want to utilize your money to grow your business more.
And that's something as well. As soon as you mentioned TikTok, I was like, okay, my younger brother, my mentor, I know that he's very, very fond of using that camera. He's very comfortable in front of the camera. He's done several videos for my mom's business. And I think that that's something that him and I are able to collab with. And I know in our industry, there's not a lot of people that do it yet. And I just feel that this is an opportunity for us to be one of the originals to start that trend in the industry. And I think that that's important. And I think that him and I should collab.
You should. You don't have to put out, like, you know, documentaries. Like, I see people.
No. You know, I see a short clip of me doing a treatment, him doing a treatment. You know, the short clip of the rats, the termites, the pest control of us doing, even the chemical mixing and things along those lines. I think that that's something that's important. And a lot of the times in our industry, especially in California, our rules are so strict in order for us to pass these tests. And I feel that one thing that is not accessible in our industry are the answers for these state exams. Once you go into a state exam and you get it wrong, you really never come out knowing what the answer is, or you never really know what questions you got right or what questions you got wrong. In the world that we're in now, it's very common to search something and you find it right away. And it's hard and it's a struggle for us who are trying to pass these exams, because a lot of these answers are not out there. You have to really, really study, or, you know, find books that are ancient. Or if you're new in the industry, you know, you might not be blessed with being able to have, like, you know, the contact list that I have, where I could call someone and I could call multiple people and ask them the same question and be able to get these answers. But these answers are really not on YouTube yet.
Well, the thing is this, right? You need to, number one, you should purchase what's called a malice, okay, and read it about 3, 4, 10 times. It's the Bible of pest control. That's number one. Number two, as far as like the social media part of it, you want to basically bring value to your customer. It should never be about you. It should never be about your company. It should be about what value you perceive to give them. Okay. Number two is curiosity. You know, you may do a video on where, you know, you're showing a certain type of treatment or identification or whatever the case might be. It should never be about yourself. I see a lot of people on the internet, like with businesses, and it's about them. It's about their truck. It's about, you know, their whatever sprayer they just bought. Like, That's not gonna bring you customers that want to buy. Like, right. you gotta show them the value. Like, why should I call Melissa Wheeler's company? And that's right. How, you know, and basically to me, that's, you know, the way social media should be. Like, I see so much unprofessionalism, people wearing flip flops and shorts, you know, like, I mean, as far as I remember, the label is the law.
Right. That's the answer on one of these state exams here in California. The label is the law.
And I mean, what I see is ridiculous. I mean, I'm not trying to criticize no one or knock anyone. Right. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, what they're doing is they're basically sinking their own ship. If you really think about it, you know, when you do a treatment, you got to wear long sleeves, right?
Yes. Gloves.
You got to wear shoes. You can't
long socks.
You can't be doing pest control treatments wearing flip flops, shorts, and a tank top. It don't work like that. You know, that's what's lacking in our industry, the professionalism.
Right.
You know, professionalism, how to position yourself in front of the, we were talking about yesterday, the episode I did on the four customers. If right. you listen to that episode and you utilize what I say in that episode, believe me when I tell you, the customers will come to you. Okay. It's not about, like you said, all these people, they, oh, buy my book and buy my course and buy my, and what do you get out of it? Nothing. You just spent $400 on what? They're not guaranteeing you anything, correct?
Right. No, they're not.
So that's the differential, you know, in my opinion.
Right. Because at the end of the day, you're going to retain what you retain.
Yeah. Well, self-education is very important to myself. I read at least 3 books a week on topics that I feel that I want to study, that I want to master. That's my whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't read books on, you know, nonsense. I read books on, you know, business, marketing, website design, whether I do it or not. I just want to be intrigued by it so I know what I need. You know, because you go to a website company, for instance, wouldn't you rather be in the know than not in the know? They're just going to sell you whatever they want to sell you rather than, you know that this is what I want. This is what I need in order to, you know, convert, to have those, you know, sales funnels, et cetera, to make me money while I'm sleeping. Correct?
Right.
Okay. So that's where I go with business. Like, I'm very ambitious person. And I'm very aggressive when it comes to business. I am not for everyone. You know, I am not for everyone. You know, there's a lot of people that, they fear me because that's how ambitious I am. Like, I run 3 corporations. I invest in small businesses. We do consulting work. You know, we're out here. We're doing what we do. Okay. So I feel that I've been blessed where, you know, I should give back to people that want to be, not me, but similar to me as far as business is concerned. So
that's very important.
Yeah,
and
well,
I feel that that's something that a lot of young entrepreneurs lack, because like you said, people just want to do this overnight. And when you said blood, sweat, and years,
that's
one thing is, the years, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes experience. It literally takes blood, sweat, and legit tears. Because yeah. There have been times where I was in the attic and I'm like, how am I going to close this? And I'll cry. And I'm like, I'm going to close this. I don't know how, but it's going to get closed. I don't know how I'm going to reach that entry point, but I'm going to do it. And like I said, being, you know, a lady and seeing your hair and rodent feces is not pleasant. It definitely will make you cry.
Listen, whether you're a man or a female or whatever you identify as nowadays.
Okay, I'm female. I am a she.
I've been in a lot of, you know, in my time, I've been on the houses. Okay. I've been walking on I-beams. I've done it all. So I understand right. What you mean. See, the key to it, Melissa, is that every day, you got to have your goals in front of you. Every day, you got to have your goals in front of you. You have to be focused. You have to be ambitious. Like, not to regurgitate what I said earlier, but if you're one of these people that want to whine and cry and, you know, my feelings, and you need a safe space, do not, and I repeat, do not want to be in business, entrepreneur, CEO, whatever people are calling themselves nowadays. You know, this here is the real deal. It's blood, sweat, and years. Like, you should write that down and keep it in front of you. It will motivate you. There are people out here that want to be where they want to be, regardless of what anyone says. Like, oh, you know, you're very arrogant and you're very whatever. Like, I really don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know where I want to go in my life. I mean, I've surpassed so much of my goals. My point is, you know, again, you got to know where you want to go if you want to get there. All right, Melissa. So where can people find you online, or your company, or your mom's company, or whoever you want to plug?
Well, my cell phone number is 213-819-0542. And my Instagram is fr_53711, which is my license field representative in California. The two companies that I work with, which are the subcontracting, are Bug 11 Pest Management, which is my mom's company, for pest control, rodents. And pest control is the general pest control: ants, crickets, earwigs, bugs, spiders, all of the above. And Shut-In Home Services for the termites. But I do want to give a shout out and acknowledgement to Evolution Termite for giving me the training and the experience. Ecola Services with Susan Freeze, who gave me the opportunity to put my foot in the door in the industry. PestCal, because I am able to go to the owner with questions that I have at any given time and day. He's been available for me. And also Western and Dewey. One thing that I want to close out is that we are recording on Veterans Day. So I do want to thank everyone who provided services in our country for their bravery, their sacrifices, and their strengths. And we want them to know that it's not unnoticed, and that we are indebted to them for the sacrifices that they have done for our country, and that we are very thankful.
Absolutely. I totally agree. God bless our armed forces, all our veterans. God bless America. I want to say thank you, Melissa, for coming on to the podcast. It was an awesome discussion. I appreciate your time, your patience. And guys, go check her out on Instagram. Give her a follow. Support her. You know, you guys, you know, can network with other pest control people and, you know, get together upon, you know, with one another, and, you know, bounce ideas off each other to help one another. So again, I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. And again, the Instagram is fr_53711.
I want to thank everyone for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. Please share the podcast. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. I want to thank everyone who follows us over on Instagram, joins up on that Facebook group, and we will see you all on the next episode. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to another great episode of Pest Equity Business Podcast. Be sure to share, like, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Pest Equity Podcast. Join the Facebook group and go subscribe to our growing YouTube community. Have a question or topic for the show? Want to be a guest on the show? Shoot us an email at pestequitypodcast@gmail.com.